She's back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
You fought all the way, Johnny Red, Johnny Red. You Bring it on. If you're tired of being spoon-fed politically correct pablum every time you turn the radio on, join Colt Reynolds for The Shooting Bench for the most politically incorrect firearms information program on talk radio.
I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
The Shooting Bench, 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 to midnight Eastern, on the Survival Circle.
Lord, he called a great victory ball, but he asked the band to play the song Dixie for you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe, cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. Okay, I know, I'm sorry. It was, I gotta go to the corner too. Me and Amy's gonna go to the corner for a little while. No, we had to go out, we had some new chickens here, got a new roost built for them, and then some of them's having to, you know how stupid chickens are, and having a kind of a problem, finding their way around. So we had to go and coax them in there and put them where they're supposed to be. So I'm sorry for the dead air we had there. Try not to do that, but it happens on live radio once in a while. So, one of those things. All right, and welcome to the Shooting Bench, 28th of September, Monday. This weekend was a good weekend. We had one of the greatest things we did this weekend was we went down here to some folks' house just a couple miles from us, and they had their 50th anniversary. And the I talked to the man, he's a good guy, good guy. And he said, well, we've never really celebrated an anniversary before. It's always been during hunting season. So he said they hadn't really celebrated the anniversary at all. So they really did it upright here with the 50th. They they had, you know, oodles and gobs of table out there. They had about, I'm going to say they probably had about 115, 125 people show up, maybe somewhere in there. I'm sure it was at least 100. And they had barbecue and just the whole nine, all kinds of cobblers. And, yes, they had peach cobbler. Thank you very much. Twice. And it was just a lot of fun. They had some of the local talent around here got together and was picking and a grinning and playing some old country song. They was dancing out there. They've got a really, really, really nice place out there. I think the guy was an insurance salesman or something for many years and did real well for himself. So, a lot of fun. Very inspirational. The kids are definitely, you can tell that their folks set a good example for them. The kids helped put all this on. They made a video of and the old couple hadn't ever seen the video before. They knew that they'd sat there and videoed one part of it, what they were on it, but they didn't know that they videoed all the, you know, kids and grandkids and everybody. It was pretty neat. It was a lot of fun. And we stayed there for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours and just had a ball. So that was a good part of our weekend. And let's see. No, I think that was our highlight there. Very, very inspirational and touching deal listening to those folks. It was pretty neat. All right, Arms Expo coming up, getting closer and closer. We're trying to get some stuff finalized for those of you that have just come in. I told you that during Amy's show that the vendor information seems to have been missing on the website. So I fixed that today. It should be on and be just fine now. So for those of you that may be thinking about coming selling some guns or some, you know, whatever, then most of what you need is there. I'm gonna tune it up a little bit tonight, but I've got it in pretty good shape. But tonight I'm gonna put some more stuff on it and make sure that all the information that we need is on there. We've got flyers out. We've got people out running around talking to folks and going to the gun shops and whatnot. So hopefully this is going to turn out to be a good deal here. The peanut rider. Yeah. Well, my mom tried to be a good example for me, but unfortunately, I think I followed after my dad, so that was not the best thing. Fortunately, I managed to turn it around before it was completely too late. But anyway, okay, let me bring up here. We've got some neat stories here, and one of the things I think what I'll do here is we're going to talk about guns first because I want to. There's a couple of stories come up here recently over the last, I don't remember when the first one was done. Both of them done several months ago. But we never did cover it. And the writer has put up here, this was in one of the NRA's magazines. There are the 5 underrated cartridges and the 5 overrated cartridges. So we're going to go through this right quick, just for the heck of it, and I'm going to give you my 2 cents worth here. And for those of you that, and this might help be too basic also with her, you know, in her new job, so she might catch on to some things here that might help out a little bit when people have questions. So we're going to start out here first with the 5 underrated rifle cartridges. These are cartridges that this writer, whatever the hell he is, seems to think should have gotten more credit than they ever did. So we'll find out here in a minute with the Gospel According to Cope, and we'll find out here. So the first one he said is underrated was the 3040 Craig. And I'll have to say that I'm not so sure that I'm in agreement with him on this one. The 3040 Craig was a good cartridge, worked fine, but it was, when the Ot-6 came out, the 3040 Craig kind of went down pretty quickly. And, I have nothing against the cartridge. It was just a little bit out of its league when some of these newer cartridges came out. The Craig's still available. There's still a lot of people that really like it. It falls somewhere in between the 3030 and the 30-06. It's probably somewhere is about 300 Savage, or maybe a little better than 300 Savage. And it's a great cartridge, but and the 308 and the 30-06 both is you know what? Guys, I'm going to have to put on a little sound clip here just for a second. Lavoie Finicum has just texted me, and I'm not sure what's going on. So give me just a minute. I'll be right back. I'm not going to call him and waste a lot of time. I'm just going to text him back here right quick. I'll be right back.
Not funny, ha-ha, funny, queer.
There was once upon a time that to be a Republican in this area of the country felt a bit like being Gary Cooper in High Noon, outnumbered in a big way. But I remember the story of a fellow who was running for office as a Republican, and he was in a rural area and it wasn't known to be Republican, and he stopped by a farm to do some campaigning. And when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped and he said, "Wait right here till I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before." So he got her, and the candidate looked around for a podium from which to give his speech, and the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. So he got up on the mound, and when they came back, he gave his speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, "That's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech." And the candidate said, "That's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform."
You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Do you want to lose your mind?
All right, guys, sorry for all the interruption, but this is kind of an important deal here. We'll speak more about that later. Yakima Glock, I don't believe that the 3040 Craig was originally black powder. It might have been, but I don't think it was. We could do a quick check on it here and find out. But let's see. Let's get back here to what we were talking about. We were doing the 3040 Craig. The next one that he thinks is underrated, that I fully agree with, is the 257 Roberts. The 257 Roberts was, I had one for a long time. It was a tack driver. As long as it had good ammo in it, that gun would shoot. You can ask Edge of the Woods how that gun shot. It was awesome. I took that receiver and turned it into, rebarreled it and turned it into a 308. It still shoots exceedingly well. But I figured the 257 Roberts was probably not a good, survival type, end of the world gun because of ammunition availability. But barring that, it was a shooter. The 257 Roberts was a 7mm Mauser, basically neck down to a 25 caliber. And, it was about 200 feet a second, depending on bullet weight, slower than the 25-06. It was, depending on bullet weight, it was about the same as the 250-3000 Savage. Real close in there. Not nearly what the 257 Weatherby is, but the 257 Weatherby, as far as I'm concerned, is way too fast for most things. I'm not necessarily the greatest fan of the supersonic small diameter bullets for especially for big game hunting. Now, if you wanted to do it with for prairie dogs and coyotes and stuff like that, then it's okay. Let's see here. Lavoie is all right. I'll answer him back at the break. It's almost break time here. So I'm in full agreement with that. I had the Remington 722 in the 257 Roberts. It's a great cartridge. The next one that he says is underrated is 6.5x55mm. Yes and no. It was a good cartridge, but there were so many other things out there that were right close to it, and like the 308 and 7mm Mauser, and some of these other ones were pretty close. So was it underrated? Maybe, but there was just so many other cartridges that did this pretty much the same thing. Now, it has been the 6.5x55, I believe, was the origin, or the the 260 Remington, I believe, is the American answer to the 250 or the 6.5x55 Mauser. And it's another great cartridge. Was it necessary? Not really. Was it underrated? Maybe. But there's just way, way too many cartridges, I think, in that class that any new ones or trying to revive any old ones, I think, is kind of a waste of time. The 9.3x62 Mauser. He says it's underrated. I say it should have stayed in Europe. It's a... it was based on the 30-06 case, so, and the bullets were 366 in diameter, so it was you could take the 338-06, the 8mm-06, and get pretty close up to what the 9.3 was. It was a good dangerous game gun, great elk gun, but bullet, projectile availability was pretty tough. It never was, there never was a whole lot of choice out there for it. So obviously something like the 35 Whelen is real close to what the 366 was, and there's lots and lots of bullets available for it. So I don't think it's underrated. I think it's a solution to a non-existent problem. There was already cartridges out there that are every bit as good as that. The next one he says is the 218B. I'm not sure that I completely agree with that either. The 218B was kind of a bastard cartridge, if you ask me. It was, the 22 Hornet took care of stuff up to a point, and then you got into 222, 223, 222 Magnum, which didn't last long, and then the 22-250. 22-250 is certainly out of that class, but the 22 Hornet was a pretty nice little cartridge. It was very accurate, very fast, very cheap to reload. It was a great little round. The 218B was chambered in a lever-action Winchester for a while. Matter of fact, it was originally chambered in Winchester. And it just never did, because it was in that particular gun, it never did get the accuracy that they'd hoped that it would. So when they started chambering it in single shots and bolt actions and stuff like that, it got better. But it still wasn't the greatest thing in the world. So when the 223 and the 222 came out, then I think it pretty well killed the 218B. Not really a big fan of the 218B. And I don't think it's underrated. I think it was another one of those answers to a question nobody asked. I just don't think it was necessary, considering all the cartridges in that caliber and that class. So I need to answer Lavoie back here again. So I'll be back here in just a minute.
Your new love affair, it's too late to talk about it now. I looked in your eyes and I saw nothing there, and baby, I was leaving anyhow. We had something going, but it's gone, I guess. The wine was sweet, why is it bitter now? Nothing you can say help my loneliness, and baby, I was leaving anyhow. I was reaching for the door.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we want it to maintain. And that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All right, we're back. Let me get back up here and check on the chat room. And Yakima Glock, no, it was not a 3040 Krag was not a black powder gun. It was a smokeless powder. Actually, the 3040 Krag was what replaced the 4570, which was a black powder gun. And anyway, we've talked about the rest of it already. Let me go down through here and look. Yeah, we'll get back and talk about the 222 a little bit more after we talk about the overrated cartridges. Let's see. Yeah, Gasper Mountain, that was my mom's rifle. Good memory. All right, let's see here. All right, let's go on here and talk about the other five cartridges that this guy thinks are overrated. And not sure I agree with all of these, but the 300 Weatherby Magnum. The 300 Weatherby was based on the 300 H&H case. It's just it's a blown out 300 H&H, and it's a step above. When you look at velocities, you can go 30-30, 300 Savage, 308, 30-06, 300 Win Mag, and 300 Weatherby Mag. Now I know there's some 30 calibers in between there. There's probably 20 of them in that range, but that's the standards there. And I don't know that the 300 Weatherby is overrated. If it was really overrated, why would they have come out with the 300 Dakota and the 300? There's a couple more high speed 30. The 3338, and there was one more of the really high tech ones there, high speed, and I can't remember what it was. But it's a good cartridge if you need that much speed and power. What happens if you When you take that 300 Weatherby, then you can go out and push those. There's actually some 250 grain bullets out there, or used to be, for 30 caliber. They were custom bullets. You couldn't just buy them off the shelf. But there was a lot of 220s and 200s out there, and that 300 Weatherby will push those 200s really, really well. 300 Win Mag does a good job, but it's 100 or 200 feet, depending on bullet weight, behind the 300 Weatherby. So I don't know if it's overrated. It's another class of cartridge. It's step up from the 300 Win Mag. Now the 270 Winchester Short Mag. He's saying it's overrated. The 200 Winchester, the 270 Winchester Short Mag set the, I believe it was the 270. It was the 270 or 7mm, one of the other short mag, that set the record for a 1,000-yard shot in England. It was something just stupid, 2.5 inches or something like that at 1,000 yards. And is it overrated? Yeah, it probably is. I probably agree with him on this one. If you're going to go with the short mags, the 300 short mag was the ticket. The 300 short mag will give you 300 Winchester Magnum performance in a short action gun. And it's tremendously popular. The rest of the short mags didn't really take off that much. The 223 Super Short Mag, I don't even think they make guns for it anymore. It lasted about a week. It was a kind of a dumb idea. Although you get 22-250 performance out of that 223 Super Short Mag, but it just didn't make it. The 243 and the 257, or the 25, was it 257? Yeah, 257 short mag. And then there was a 7mm, or 270, and then the 7mm, and the 30, and the, was it the 338 short mag? It was about the same as almost the same as a 338 Winchester Magnum. In the shorter case, and they were all good cartridges, and I don't know why they just didn't really take off as well. Maybe it was the 340 short mag. I don't remember what it was, but it was about equivalent to the 338 Winchester Magnum. And the only one that really did well was the 300 short mag. It did really good. The rest of these, there wasn't a thing in the world with them. Are they overrated? I don't know that they were even rated. I don't know if this guy is trying to bring back, breathe some life into some of these cartridges, or to kill some of them, or what. But I've never heard anybody really, or in any of the magazines or anything, really rant and rave over the 270 short mag. So I don't know if it's overrated at all, because I've really never seen anybody write much on it. He's saying the 220 Swift was overrated. Well, it not in its time. When the 220 Swift came out, it was the king of the, by far and away, of the 22 calibers. And it wasn't overrated. It was every bit of everything everybody thought it was. But with the modern, the 22-250s, only 100 feet or so behind it, and you've got several other ones out there, that the 220 Swift is it's not dead, but it's pretty stagnant. It's not overrated at all, because it's stagnant right now. If anything, I would say it's underrated. But the 220 Swift was kind of hard on barrels. There's still a few out there, and I think there's still at least one or two companies that still make them. You can still get ammo for them. They're not extinct or anything like that. But I don't think it's overrated at all, because nobody is ranting and raving about it nowadays. He says the 458 Winchester Magnum was overrated. Son, I'm going to tell you what. The 458 Winchester Magnum... I don't know why, what in the world would possess this guy to say that it was overrated. The 458 Winchester Magnum is accounted for more dangerous game and big animal, the elephants and the rhinos and hippopotamus and stuff than probably all other ones put together. It's a tremendous African cartridge. It's there. Now, what I thought was overrated was Weatherby's version of this, which was the 460. Yeah, it was a little faster than the 458, but I don't think it was ever as popular as the 458 WinMag. Matter of fact, with the it was one of those times when you could really vote for the slow to mid-range large caliber bullet. The 458 was never, they call it the Winchester Magnum, but it was never really real fast. Matter of fact, you could take a good quality like a Ruger number one or a good quality well-built 4570 and juice it up pretty good and scare the hell out of 458 Winchester Magnum ballistics. You couldn't quite get to it, but or at least you did. You may could, but you didn't want to. But anyway, I don't believe it was overrated at all. I think it deserves every bit of the rating that that they say of it. Now here's another one. Now, I don't know what this guy's game is. Let's see. I don't even know his name. What is his name here? Philip Massaro. Okay, I most definitely, absolutely do not agree with him on this one. He says, I want you to sit down now and think about this. I don't want you to be holding anything sharp or anything like that. He thinks the 223 is overrated. Now, I'm sorry, but I cannot even go along with this one. The 223... man, if you're going to have a varmint cartridge or deer, you know, medium size game, I've killed a hell of a bunch of deer with a 223. I've killed some pretty good size mule deer with a 223 and several whitetails. And it's small and light and pretty easy on barrels. You get it's not hard to get. Well over 3,000 feet a second out of it. You've got a wide range of bullets for it from, 40 grain up to 80 grains now. And depending on the twist of your barrel, you can do a lot with the 223. Now, the 223 was the reason that the 222 died. The 222 was the little darling of the 22 calibers for a long time. And there's still a lot of people that absolutely love it. It's kind of hard to get ammo for. But if you... it's kind of hard to get ammo for, but if you can find it or if you reload for it, the 222 still does a good job. 222 set the world record for 22 caliber out 200 yards quite a few years ago, and I don't know if it still holds that record or not, but it put 10 shots in I can't remember now. It was less than a quarter of an inch, but I can't remember exactly what it was. 10 shots in maybe it was a third of an inch. Anyway, whatever it was, 10 shots at 200 yards, and it held that record for a long time. I don't know if it still does. But I could not disagree with this guy more. I think the 223 is great varmint gun. It's a great target gun. It's a great medium game gun. It's a great beginner's gun. The recoil is extremely mild. Accuracy is extremely good. It's easy on barrels. I mean, there's just what would be the downside? I mean, it's not a 30 caliber, it's not a 45 caliber, it's not a 7 millimeter, it's 22. Okay, and 22s are okay. There's a lot of things you can do with a 22 caliber centerfire rifle. So I don't know what this guy was smoking, and he may be a good guy, but I really, really don't agree with him on that one. I'm a big fan of the 223. I'm not a fan of the 223 as a people cartridge. That's why, you know, I finally did break down and get an AR, only because I have no emotional attachment to it. But as far as bolt action 223s and good, accurate, the reason I like the AR-15 over the AK-47, and I've said this for years, it's not anything new, is it is accurate. Most of your decent quality AR-15s will shoot. So I didn't really like my AK for a truck gun because of the accuracy. I see a coyote out there at 200 or 300 or 400 yards. I had very, very little chance of hitting it with the AK-47. And, you know, coyotes, porcupines, whatever the case may be out there, the 223 is just, and the 220, the AR-15 is accurate enough to do that. I have a scope that attaches to it in, you know, seconds, and it holds its zero real well. So that's the reason I went to that. And well, I think that's my last thought on that. Let's see, what's Eddie saying? 25 is the minimum caliber. Yeah, there's quite a few states that the 25 is the minimum caliber. There's more states that the 24 is the minimum caliber. The 243 and the 244 and all those, but it Eddie Crump says the 25 is the minimum caliber in Washington State, and Yakima Glock says the 243 is legal in Washington State. So let's do a quick search and see which is who's right here. I'll have an answer here in just a minute. All right, it's coming up here from the Game and Fish Department there, the Washington DFW, whatever that is, something Fish and Wildlife, I'm sure, says... Let's see. What are the legal specifications? Can I carry a modern handgun? How can I fail and possess? Rules and regulations. Firearms okay. Magazine capacity. Can I have both barrels of my double barrel muzzleloader loaded? Okay. Well, I don't see yet. Let me click over here one more page and we'll check on this. Is it legal to use pellet guns? Can I use two-way radio? Is 410 legal for game birds? I'm a successful hunter and have killed deer. All right, here we go right here. We're coming up on the answer. Big game except cougar must be hunted with a minimum of 24 caliber, 6mm, centerfire rifle. Cougar may be hunted with 22 centerfire. Rimfire rifles are not legal for big game in Washington State with the exception of cougar. A 24 caliber rifle is legal for all big game, including deer, goat, sheep, elk, and moose. Wow. 243 for elk and moose is not, I am not a fan. Although it's okay to do so, few hunters actually use 24 caliber to hunt game bigger than deer due to the lack of knockdown power. Okay, well, so be it. All right, there you have it. Yakima Glock, you are not wrong. You are right. Eddie Crump, you go to the corner. Okay, it is not 25 caliber. Okay. That's right, Yakima, you win, and Eddie's in the corner. All right. Okay, well, I just thought found that kind of interesting. I know this isn't our gun night, and I've probably lost all the girls here, except B2 Basic. She's probably in there. Let me check and see how many of them are still hanging out. Let's see. Looks like B2 Basic, the last one in there. Got some anonymous hanging in there. right. Well, like I say, we don't often do that, especially on Mondays. And I do have some other stories to share. But I found that interesting, and it's just something that I wanted to do tonight. So there you go. I have two awesome stories for you. I don't really have time to do them tonight. I should save them till Veterans Day, but I'm not going to. I will do one more story for you here real quick. We have... there has been a tremendous breakdown here of... And this is gonna bother a lot of you. And some of you, it's probably going to bother, and you're not going to pay any attention to it. You'll do it anyway, except when you're with certain friends, maybe. But, you know, I told you one time, a couple times, that there's going to come a time when it's going to be nearly impossible to boycott everybody that is against the things that that we believe in. And it's getting that way. Depending on what your stance is on some of the modern day topics and issues here, it appears that Frito-Lay now has joined the ranks of Pepsi and so many other ones here. Now, you know, I'm probably a little more tolerant than I used to be of you know, if you are a homo and you want to go do your thing and leave me alone, you know, it's your thing. That's not a, just stay away from my thing. But there's so many of these companies here that are donating. Here, Frito says they have some rainbow colored chips. They're going to mail these rainbow-colored chips to anybody that gives $10 or more to the LGBT It Gets Better Project Youth Initiative. Now, LGBT and youth should not be in the same sentence, period. This organization was started by a vehement anti-Christian named Dan Savage, and so yeah, they're not putting them on the shelf, but they're making them for you. If you send $10 to the, what is that, the LGBT's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, I think it is, if you send $10 or more to them, they'll send you some rainbow colored chips. How nice of them. So Frito-Lay now joins the... Pepsi owns a bunch of these, okay? To boycott Pepsi means that you'll boycott Mountain Dew, Lay's potato chips, Gatorade, of course all the Pepsi products, Diet Pepsi and all that goes along with it, Tropicana beverages, Doritos, all of the Lipton teas, Quaker foods and snacks. If you like Quaker oats, you're going to have to switch it up if you don't like this. Cheetos, Mirinda, which I don't know what is, Ruffles potato chips, Aquafina bottled water, Pepsi Max, obviously a Pepsi product, Tostitos tortilla chips, Sierra Mist, Fritos corn chips, Walker's potato crisps, and this list is several years old. There's been more up there. Now, contrary to popular belief, Pepsi does not own Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Bell, or Pizza Hut. Those are owned by a company called, I think it's Yum, Y-U-M, I believe. Now, Yum has a lifetime contract with Pepsi. It does not mean that Pepsi owns part of them. The contract is so that Yum will be forced to... Oh, yeah, Yakima Glock just said that. No, that's not true, Yakima Glock. Yum owns those companies. Yum has a lifetime contract. There is no ownership involved. They have a lifetime contract for Pepsi to supply the beverages for these Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and what's the other one? Pizza Hut. So there's the story on that. I did quite a bit of research on that today. And Yum is its own company. It's not owned by Pepsi. It just has a contract there. Okay, well, I've pretty much used up my time here. And I've got the boy Finicum on the line here again, so I'll be meeting him here in a day or two. Let's see. Let me go down through here. B2 Basic, what don't you know? I mean, you can't expect to know. I don't know anything about cooking. And you're damn sure good at that. So we have our things that we do that we excel in. When you get something new, you just have to learn and carry on. I think you're doing a great job. So, okay. Well, that is the end of that. I'm going to get on out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. I don't know exactly what time. Well, I should be done with everything that I need to do by Wednesday, so I should be back at my regularly scheduled time, 8:30, by the way, on Wednesdays. If that changes anytime soon, I'll let you know, but for the time being, that's what it's going to have to be. Okay, I'm out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. Thanks for joining me.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.